Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back radio show host and author Diane Wing. She is an author, teacher, and perspective changer. She has a Master's of Arts, and she enjoys exploring the mysteries of life and the way that people experience themselves and the world around them. She's a whiz at helping people find their inner magic to help them be happy in the present while creating their ideal future. Diane Wing created a body of work through her books, school, and games focused on knowing the self at a deep level in order to build self-trust and self-confidence. Her latest book is The Happiness Perspective, Seeing Your Life Differently. It's available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Diane is an avid reader, bibliophile, lover of trees, and a lifelong learner. She and her husband are pet parents to a sweet little Shih Tzu. Now, to find out more about her, you can go to Wing Academy Radio at www.dianewing.com. And so with that said, I'd like to bring Diane live. Diane, once again, how are you tonight?
Hi, David. It's so great to be here. I love being on your show.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's a pleasure to have you back. I love being on your show, too. It's, you know, it's a pleasure to be with people that you can resonate with. And, you know, it's not to say that I can't get along with most people, but you get certain vibes from some people. And it's nice when you find that you're on a similar page, if not the same page.
I hear you. It is. It's a much calmer experience and a more uplifting kind of interaction.
Well, you know, I have had the good fortune of only having a couple of guests that I didn't resonate with. And one of them was really way out there. She, I'm digressing, but she was basically an expert on the apocalypse and the Antichrist. And why I ever had her on the show, I don't know. Her bio said, and I thought it would be a different sort of program, and boy, was it. And as soon as it was over, I deleted it from my podcast archives. So, anyhow, Diane, you've written a new book. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's like giving birth every time.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's you put it out there, and you just want people to benefit from it and like it and, you know, it's like having a child. You know, you don't want anybody to tell you your baby's ugly. I'm very fortunate that I'm getting really great reviews on Amazon, and I'm so thankful that it's helping as many people as it has been, because happiness is hard these days. It's not something that, you know, you can just tap into at random. You know, it's something that is created through mindfulness. And so many people don't even think it's possible to be happy these days. It's really sad.
It is sad. And I think some people don't even know what happiness is. I'm wondering if you could give me a good working definition, your good working definition of happiness.
Well, every single person has to define happiness for themselves. I mean,
mm-hmm.
my definition of happiness is going to be different, could be very different from your definition of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't expect, like, I'm happiest when I'm creating, when I have quiet, when I have those I love around me, including my husband and my dog. And I live a very peaceful life. And for me, happiness is peace, inner peace, outer peace. For some people, that's not sufficient. You know, they want excitement. They want to feel like they have an active role in the world. They want to be around a lot of people. They want to be in the crowd, you know, and that's great. So it's hard to be happy if you don't know what makes you happy or if you don't know what it means to you. But ultimately, it's got to have meaning and purpose. Meaning and purpose, and whatever those things are for you as an individual, is how I define happiness.
That makes sense. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. I mean, I used to be a person that craved excitement, and all that it brought to me was a crazy life that had highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
And today I seek a balanced life, and for me, happiness is very much connected to serenity and my joy. And I do believe that it is possible, and I trust you do too. But what can you say to people that don't believe that it's possible?
Well, don't attach happiness to something that is temporary. So, oh, I'm so happy I bought this new dress. Well, that lasts, you know, maybe a day. And then you go right back to not being happy or being dissatisfied with something else, some other part of your life. So do it gradually. Really dig and uncover what is it that is happiness for you. And know that it's possible, but it's not possible if you continue to do the same thing over and over again that failed in the past. You actually have to do significant work on yourself. And this is part of the difficulty for a lot of people because it does require work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think, oh, happiness, you know, skipping through the meadow and, you know, finding that magic bullet. If I win the lottery, then I'll be happy. If I, you know, get that right relationship, then I'll be happy. It's always you're going to be happy when something else happens. It's so much more effective to be happy where you are right now with what you have right now, finding things in your life that do bring you joy in the present and don't hitch everything to the future state.
I think that's a very important statement. And what you were saying really resonates for me about how people have a tendency, or some people have a tendency, to attach happiness to outer conditions. And as far as I'm concerned, and I'd be interested in your perspective on this, happiness comes from within. And there's nothing outside of myself that can make lasting happiness for me. It's just an illusion connected to some outer circumstance, and when I become attached to something, I become a slave to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that it makes me think of so many people who expect their significant other to make them happy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They hand over the responsibility of their happiness to someone else or to the company that they work for. You know, it's not the company's responsibility to make you happy. It's up to you to find purpose and you know, joy in the work. And if you're not finding that, it's your responsibility to find something else to do. So, to have something external to yourself that you're relying on to create happiness for you, you're absolutely right. That doesn't fly. It's really important to start within and start going through your beliefs, because what you believe about something, shows how you react to it. And so that's what the book really helps with, is it has over 50 topics, and it helps you look at these topics very differently than you may be looking at them now. Things like aging and anger and a lot of stuff that when we look at it initially, we might say, oh, you know, God, I'm getting old and it's horrible and, you know, I don't like this and my body's all stiff and, you know, or you could look at it like, wow, you know, I know so much more now than I did when I was younger, and I would never want to give up what I know today for a younger me, because that wouldn't make me happy. I take great pride in allowing the lack of understanding to fall away with each year that passes. And again, you said in my bio, I'm a continuous learner. I'm a lifelong learner, and it's true. If I went back in age, I could never, you know, I would do it maybe if I could take all my learning with me. But knowing that I can't do that, I prefer to have that. Having the wisdom of age is my perspective, which makes me happy to be this age. And so you have to really look at, how are you looking at things? How are you labeling them? How are you reacting to them? Were you taught that one thing or another was right or wrong, and you're not quite sure why you think that, or it may not even apply anymore? You know, we change over time, and so we need to have a dynamic consideration of who we are right now.
That brings us back to the present, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
that's all
present,
that we truly have. That's
yes.
all we have. I mean, what's done is done, and what will be, will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, with the present, something that might have been a goal for you 5 years ago, in your current state of being and your current state of knowing, does it still make sense to try to pursue a goal that you identified so many years ago? Maybe what's making you miserable is hanging on to things that it's time to let go of.
I have a question.
Okay.
I'm wondering about goals. What your feeling is about setting goals for yourself?
Well, I think goals have a two-part process, at least it does for me. So the goal itself, which is the result that I'm looking to get, but underlying that, what is my intention in creating that goal? So if I want to write a new book, and I'm working on the next one, it's called The Love Continuum, Patterns That Rule Our Relationships. But, okay, there's the goal. Write that book. Finish that book. I'm doing the research on it. What's my intention? My intention is to help people get clear about what love really means to them and what it looks like, what it has looked like over the course of their lifetime, and maybe uncover why relationships have failed for them. So there's the intention. If you just have a goal, a result that you want to have, oh, I want to buy a beach house, okay, kind of feels empty without the underlying intention, because I want a place for my family to gather and to be happy and create beautiful memories together. Feels different, doesn't it?
It sure does. Absolutely.
So when you're setting a goal, also understand the why behind it.
Well, a while ago you were talking about how happiness is something that you need to work for. It's not a given. There's nothing in life that comes to us easily. And a lot of people seem to have a problem with having to work. And it really is hard work, isn't it?
The hard work is knowing yourself, right? Know thyself is always the first order of business. It's the great work. It's the thing that we need to do and that everything else is contingent upon. So if you don't know yourself, happiness isn't going to really happen. You know, I think we're born into this life happy. Babies, most babies that you see, they're giggling, they're smiling. You know, some are crying, but, you know, you change their diaper and they start laughing again. But, you know, that's because they don't have any obstacles that have been created at that point. As the layers of stuff are piled on us and as we accumulate belief systems that may or may not be aligned with who we are at the core, as we are in circumstances that don't feel right to us, but we feel like we don't have a lot of control over that. And we do, by the way. We create everything that's in our life. But, you know, we have to really uncover what are these layers and what am I ready to strip away and where did they originate and what is my belief about them. If you look at any problem as a learning opportunity, that shifts your energy up. That shifts your happiness up. Right? If you look at a problem like, oh, God, here we go again. It's the same old stuff day after day. This black cloud is following me around. Okay, that feels really different, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. You know, you sound just like a life coach I had on. He doesn't even like the word challenge because that implies problem. He just talks about how everything that comes our way is an opportunity for growth. And the way that we achieve that is through learning the lesson. And if we don't learn the lesson the first time, it's going to come back to us. And sometimes it may come back to us in a form that feels even less pleasant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't get it? The universe is really persistent.
Yeah.
Don't make it be like the tower card in Tarot where, you know, everything has to blow up or a rock has to fall on your head. It doesn't have to get to that point.
So
it really doesn't.
As we were talking about growing older, hopefully wiser, that implies that we need to change. We are not the same person today that we were yesterday, nor will we be the same person tomorrow. Depends on what we've learned along the way. So how do you know if you're really ready to change?
Okay. So you know you're ready to change when you are absolutely miserable and nothing that you're trying, you know, nothing that has happened up to this point has created a shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to be ready. You have to feel like, okay, I can't stand another moment of being like this. And then, and only then, will you be willing to do the work required to move forward.
So in a sense, to hit a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
When you hit a wall, but you're, like, there's that discomfort that you're so uncomfortable with the way that things are. You know, I always tell my clients that anxiety increases when you're coming up on a big change. You know, because, oh, no, what's going to happen? I don't know if I want to do this. I'm afraid. I'm so uncertain about how it's going to play out. So your anxiety is going to get bigger when you know that it's time to do something. Once you make a decision that it's time to let go, or it's time to look at things differently, or it's time to do the work, the anxiety goes away. It's really amazing how that happens. But, you know, some people are comfortable in their discomfort. You've heard that phrase before. And that means that, yeah, they're not happy, but they're used to it. They don't have the level of discomfort required to make any change. And that's fine for them. There's no judgment here. You know, if you're comfortable and you like to complain and you like to hang out with other people who are kind of, you know, griping also and unhappy, that's your choice. That's fine. But for those who are so uncomfortable that they might be having difficulty breathing, their body might be really tense, their thoughts always go to negative kinds of thinking that makes them really upset. Those are the ones who are ready and need to do something about it.
Well, I would be inclined to agree with that. A lot of people seem to like to wallow in their discomfort, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that
is something I don't understand. Although I have been there, it's just that having come out the other side, I can't understand why I was ever like that to begin with. But it really has a lot to do with attitude, doesn't it? What kind of attitudes most conducive towards overcoming fears and anxieties and aligning oneself with happiness?
Well, it's about not being afraid, like trusting in the process, trusting yourself and trusting the universe that everything happens for a reason, everything happens when it's supposed to, in its own time, and ultimately for the best. And if that isn't part of your belief system, it's going to be a really hard road. If it's time for you to really start to consider how to get to that place where you're trusting, and especially trusting yourself. You know, self-criticism makes the road really hard. You know, believing what you may have been told your whole life by parental units or employers or, you know, relationships or wherever the criticism is coming from, and then to adopt it and embrace it as who you are. This is the killer of self-trust.
Sure is.
So get rid of the self-criticism. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that that's who you are. You aren't the mistake. You made a mistake. Oh, but I can learn from it. Okay, good. But don't embody the mistake. You know, if you start to label yourself, oh, my God, I'm such a screw-up. Okay, well, now you've embodied the idea of screw-up, and that's who you become in your own mind.
How can we change that?
How can we change it? Catch yourself in the critical mode. Catch yourself in that negative automatic thought mode. And lessen the time that you think about that. So, okay, you make a mistake. You glued your you know, something together that it's in the wrong spot. You could ruminate about that for a really long time. Or you can laugh at yourself and go, ugh, okay, well, I know what I did wrong, and next time I'll know to do it differently. Right? Or you could beat yourself up. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? I would have if I had only. Right? And these are common. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Ugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that if word. I once heard somebody say in a 12-step meeting that His father had told him if is the longest word in the dictionary. And boy, did that stick with me.
Oh, yeah. So we have to be self-observing, which can be hard, because we do it so habitually, so automatically, and we don't realize we're doing it until we're like, our energy's in the gutter, and our mindset is just like, ugh. So the moment you start beating yourself up, wear a rubber band around your wrist and snap it. And then refocus your mind onto something that's positive. And it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm learning from this. It could be anything. It could be anything. Oh, look how cute my dog is. Right?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I love puppies. Whatever that looks like, whatever's a pleasant, happy thought, refocus your attention. But you have to be aware of it enough to stop it in process. Otherwise, it's just going to take on a life of its own.
Let's talk a little bit about awareness, because
okay.
I think that's really an important key for people to be able to remain present so that they can observe dispassionately what's going on inside them and around them, so that they don't get stuck to attaching themselves to criticisms and anger and resentments and all those kinds of things that can stem from unpleasant interactions with people that we may get stuck with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sometimes we have external behaviors that others can see, and so if we have a really good friend, they might be able to help us recognize when it's happening. You know, talk to a good friend who's non-judgmental and ask them to let you know when you start complaining about whatever it is, whatever you normally complain about, work, whatever. Tell them to give you a signal like touching their nose so that it brings it to your awareness. Oh, I'm doing it again. Okay, stop. But if it's internally, the clues that we get can come from the body. It's a really easy way to start to become aware of what our thoughts are doing. So check in with yourself and see where it generally hits you in your body. It might be your shoulders, like you might feel heavy weight. It might be on your chest, heaviness. It could be you start breathing higher in your throat. Like you might be breathing in the bottom of your neck instead of down into your stomach. Your stomach might get tight. Any of these clues, and it's different for everybody, notice when it happens and then tie it into, what was I just thinking about? And then you'll be able to be self-aware in this regard. But you need to know your triggers. And you need to decide that this is something that's important to you to start to become aware of.
What stops people from taking steps to change themselves so that they can create happiness?
Well, I mean, whether or not it's to create happiness, what stops them from making change in general? Fear,
right,
is the main one.
Right.
Doubt that they can do it. So it's that lack of self-trust. Lack of trust in the universe, that they don't believe that by making this change anything's really going to become better, so why should I bother? Why should I waste my time? But the fear of the unknown, every time we let go of something, it makes a space. And that space allows new, fresh energy to come in. But if you let something go and you're afraid of what your life looks like without that thing, that thought, that emotion, that belief, that relationship that's been bothering you for, you know, decades, whatever. When you let that go, oh no, what's going to happen? I have no idea. The other thing is the devil, you know.
Yeah.
So the fear has to be addressed. And understanding that whatever comes after is better than what you're living through now. Right? If you have panic attacks every time your significant other comes in or comes, you know, home.
Oh,
you know it's time to end the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
But some people, you know, they wait a long time before they decide, okay, this is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the chance. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable, but I can't live like this anymore. So it's got to, the fear has to be overcome by the discomfort that the person is feeling. Back to that. The level of discomfort is going to squash the fear. Because you're going to be like, I don't care what happens. I just want out. Right?
Yeah.
That goes for leaving jobs. That goes for ending friendships of long standing that have, you know, no reward whatsoever. That every time you're around the person, you feel down. They judge you. They criticize you. They're not happy. You can't talk about your accomplishments because they're not doing well, so you don't want to talk about your good fortune in front of them. There are 1,000 things in relationships that don't allow for happiness that would be indicative that it's time to move on. And enjoy your happiness, right? Because when you become happy, and this is really the hardest part of it, certain people aren't going to want to be around you anymore. And you're
That's
not
right.
going to want to be around certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like you better when you're upset.
That's true.
That gives them purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
you,
it makes-
that... Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, it makes some people who are unhappy very uncomfortable to be around a happy person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then they realize that that they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't like it. They don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't want to be left behind either.
Right.
So as you
right.
become happier, you need to find other people who are vibrating at the same level you are. I talk about this extensively in my book, The True Nature of Energy, Transforming Anxiety into Tranquility. I talk about relationships and looking at the energy of that and how certain relationships really pull you down. But in the context of happiness, it's about your belief in, okay, so if you believe that your role in the relationship that's bothering you is to take care of that other person no matter what, then you're not going to pull away from them. If you hand that person back responsibility for their own happiness and own care, I mean, barring extreme circumstances of physical difficulty or whatever that looks like, you know. But we're talking about just an average relationship. You know, if you believe that they should be responsible for their own happiness, it's easier to make the shift and you'd be more willing to do it. And the fear of leaving them behind goes away. So it's back to that perspective, shifting that, and that's what the exercises in the happiness perspective do. It helps you shift your perspective on all these different topics so that you can start really thinking about this stuff differently and set yourself up to have the courage and the fortitude and the self-trust to take those steps that need to be taken.
Well, let's talk for just a minute about the format of the book, because I really like it. You have, what did you say, 50 topics in the book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50-something. I think it's more than 50.
And
yeah.
And then at the end of each topic, you do have exercises.
Yes.
Can you give us an example? Can you give us an example of an exercise?
Sure. So, first, the reason why I did the exercises is because we are bombarded with so much information day to day, and on any given day, you're looking at 100 or more pieces of information, right? So I don't think it does us any good to just have information unless we can apply it. So these exercises are there to apply it, right? So I just opened the book at random, and it's Shift Your Perspective on Getting Help, right? Some people don't want to get help because it makes them feel weak, or they think that they should do it all themselves, or they don't want to burden other people, like all these different reasons, right? So the exercise is set your goals and then make a list of everything required to achieve them. Then make a list of everything else you need to take care of in your life. Outsource anything that doesn't look like something only you can do. Get help and see how much farther you get. You'll be less stressed, the creative juices will be flowing, and you'll be more successful overall.
Beautiful.
So does this make sense as patient of how you view getting help?
Good point. It certainly does make sense. Anything
yeah,
that
so,
we can
I mean,
do
you could,
to eliminate stress will reduce that anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just putting something down on paper is a great way to let it go.
Oh, yeah. You could even burn it after if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To release it.
Yeah. Rituals are great.
Yeah, but by listing everything, you see that it's fruitless to try to do it all yourself. You know, use your resources. But there may be a lot of reasons.
Go ahead. Please finish your
There may
thought.
Be a lot of reasons why you're feeling like you can't. And those are the beliefs that you have to also deal with.
Well, I think you just alluded to an important point, and the one thing you were talking about was people that perceive help as a form of weakness, and yet we're all in this life to help each other. And so, in a sense, reaching out for help is really a sign of strength because it's a commitment to growing and learning, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
Agreed. I mean, I can't know everything. I can't do everything myself. I certainly can't be good at everything. You know, I mean, my husband and I are a perfect example of this. We are complete opposites, thank goodness, because we fill in each other's gaps almost perfectly. That's why we fit together. And so to your point, you know, we're here to help each other. And it's possible when people are willing to help you, when you have somebody who you honor as having gifts that are beyond what yours are, right? If you think you have to know everything and be able to do everything great and, you know, nobody else can do it as well as you can, well, that ego is going to really diminish your capacity for happiness because you're just going to be exhausted. And nobody's going to want to help you because they can't satisfy you anyway.
That's true. That's true. And that's a lesson that people need to learn, because when we think that somebody else can make us happy, then we're once again attaching a condition to something outside ourselves.
Oh, yeah. So anything that you can possibly look at, any idea, any thought, you could sit there and look at it from five different ways. And I actually recommend doing that. I even recommend questioning what I'm saying right now. Because whether or not you believe it when you're looking at it from different perspectives, it opens your mind. It shifts it around and lets you have other thoughts that might build on these other perspectives. Just having that moment to see something completely differently than you're used to seeing it helps you to overcome that stuckness that we get from constantly looking at things the same way over and over and over.
It's wonderful to open yourself to epiphanies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're an author, too. As writers, as creators, we can't sit and be in our bubble all the time. We have to open ourselves to different things, to the world, different shows that we may or may not like even on TV just to get the juices flowing. Walk in a different park than we might normally walk. See something different. All those things help to really, to allow us to expand as opposed to being like plateaued. It's so easy to stay in a habit. And thinking, the way that you think can become habitual. And so if you haven't had a new idea in a long time, I'm not saying you, David, but, you know, listeners, if you haven't had an idea in a long time, get out there. Read an author you never read before. You know, to read a topic or look up a subject on Google that just occurs to you out of the blue and read something about it and see if it triggers a different thought than what you're used to. If you love a certain topic, read widely. Read authors that write about that topic, and I don't care what their perspective is, just make sure they're varied. And consider them. And if you don't like them, maybe you can take a little piece of what they're saying, maybe add it to somebody else's piece, and then add some of your own, and poof, you have an innovation in your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But not if you keep doing the same things over and over and over.
Well, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and different results.
Right.
Yeah. There were two attitudes that I was thinking about. I'd love to hear you comment on them. The attitude of acceptance and the attitude of gratitude in terms of how they align with happiness.
Okay, well, acceptance is really important to being in a flow. So if you just accept things for what they are, accept people for what they are instead of criticizing, accepting circumstances for what they are and just taking action on them instead of questioning why, acceptance, you go into a flow. And I also... and this may be a little controversial, I recommend acceptance over forgiveness, because forgiveness implies blame, or it implies that something is wrong and that has to be taken action upon, where all that really has to happen is you accept it, and then no forgiveness is needed, and there's no judgment or criticism of the other person. And you can just move forward.
I love it.
With gratitude, that's, to me, right up there with love is a high vibration. Gratitude is essential because if I see that I have to clean my porch and there's leaves all over it and there's, you know, pollen and whatever else is out there, I could be like, ugh. I don't feel like doing this. This sucks. I don't like it. Or I could say, I am so fortunate to have this beautiful porch where I could sit and enjoy my yard, and won't it be nice when it's all clean? And, you know, we could sit out there and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Feels very different. gratitude
sure does.
Is a major tool in allowing you to feel okay about things that may normally or previously been distasteful to you. Right, gratitude. Okay, dog is sick. Go back to her. Right, and I love my dog like beyond belief. She's my baby. So, you know, she has a little episode outside. You know, and it's on her hair because she's very long haired. So I could be like, oh no, this is horrible. I don't want to do this. It's, you know, messy. And or I could be grateful because I love her so much and she brings me so much joy and we have so much love together that isn't even a chore because I'm grateful that I have her and I have to do this because I have her. So there's the gratitude.
And now, that's an interesting thing you just said because that talks about responsibility. What role does responsibility play in terms of happiness?
Oh, great question. It's our personal responsibility to take charge of our own happiness, of our lives, accept responsibility for creating and bringing in the things that are in our lives, whether we like them or not. We're responsible for them. It's through the choices that we've made that these things are in our life. And so we're responsible. And, you know, having back to, you know, my fur baby, having her, she can't help herself. She's my responsibility. I take that gladly and with the highest level of joy and love that I could possibly have. She's my responsibility, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm.
So how you look at responsibility, some people go, oh, God, what a burden, you know. and those people shouldn't have a dog or any pet.
Right.
You know, because they're work, guys, they're work.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. But you know, if again, the perspective, if you look at responsibility as a burden, as something that's a task, that's or I get to take care of my baby, I get to. That feels very different.
Sure does.
That feels very happy. You know, and then there's nothing better than that. So, again, the way that you look at the idea of responsibility is key to happiness.
Well, Diane, we've had a caller in the queue for quite a while. Why don't we take a break and see what the caller has to say?
Okay.
This is Deanna. Deanna,
hey.
Hello.
You're live. Hi.
How are
there.
You?
Hi.
Hi, David. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Deanna.
Thanks for holding for so long.
Well, I was just listening. It makes it easier for me to listen on the phone than on the program. It doesn't, you know, keep cutting off that way.
Oh, good.
So it was very good. It was very interesting. Yeah, gratitude makes all the difference. I agree.
Absolutely. Do you have a story you can share about gratitude that where it made you happier?
No, it's every day that I live. No
there
particular
you go.
Story. Every day that I live, that I say, okay, this is a chance, this is an opportunity, this is a new door to doing something I wanted to, and just be in awe of what's going to happen. I remember there was a program on tonight, David, and I said, I got to remember to call in and listen. But it was just for the sake of listening. Congratulations on writing several books. Not an easy task.
Thank you. And I love your mindset. I love it. you have such light, beautiful energy when you were talking about that. Doing
well,
things
because
that
I'm cutting roses. Things are always difficult in life, in mine, you know, always changing. And whenever I feel down, I figure, okay, I could do this or I could buy some roses. So here I was cutting roses and putting them into vases and looking at them, and I said, God, they're so beautiful. So that's what's made my energy a little bit lighter, looking at flowers.
Yeah, oh, that'll do it, definitely. But you're making a choice. You're making a wonderful choice between being downtrodden or doing something that you know will lift your spirits, and you're choosing lifted spirits.
Yeah. I call it eye food. My eyes eat as much as, you know, my mouth. And they are, and the stimulus comes in through my eyes. I guess there's people who are more auditory, visual. I'm not sure which one I am. I guess I'm both. But looking at something beautiful and just wondering, wow, this is like a little miracle, it makes me feel better. And being able to listen to all these shows, you know, without a TV, without a radio, it's like winning the lottery.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
Deanna,
great.
You had not tuned in the beginning, but Diane is a radio show host too. You might be very interested in catching some of her broadcasts or podcasts. Diane, would you tell people how they can find you?
Sure. Go to DianeWing.com. That's DianeWing.com /radio. And you can listen to all my shows on demand.
Wonderful.
So can...
And I love your last name. You know, just very light, Wing.
Thank you. Yeah, I married well. That's my married name. So.
Yes, you did. Congratulations to him, too. He got a good, you know, bargaining return, too.
Oh, yeah.
David, I want to ask you to call me one of these days so I can store your number since all the other numbers were lost. And
okay. Well,
anymore.
I Facebooked it to you, Deanna, but I'll be happy to do that. I'm just going to double-check and make sure I have your number in my address book. Is there anything else that you'd like to say, Deanna?
No. Have a wonderful, wonderful month of March.
You too. Nice talking to you.
Thank you,
thank
Diane.
You.
Thank you, David. Please.
Okay, well, geez, I have your number right on the screen. What am I talking about? But I do have it in my... yes. Oh, well, it's nice to be able to laugh at yourself. And thank you for your comments.
It's all in our head. It's just stored somewhere else, you know.
That's right. Well, that's part of the beauty of the modern age is it's always stored somewhere else. You always have access to it, whether it's technical or whether it's some other facet of life. We have access to whatever we want to. And sometimes all it is a matter of is asking for help. We were talking about that, too.
You know, one of the things I bought after the Christmas holiday, it was like a, you know, a theme for the holiday. It's a little red and white picture, and it says, believe in magic.
Mm.
Nice.
I like
it. It brings it back, you know, whenever you're feeling like stuck. Well, believe in magic. You can do it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the attitude that we are looking for. That's
thank you
the
so
key.
Much.
There was a show when I was a kid called The Magic Toy Shop. And it started off in the beginning, a smile is a key to open the door to the wonderful magic toy shop.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah,
because
I like
smile, when you're smiling, your mouth is open, so you are open.
Yeah. And don't you think, Diane, that just smiling is a way to start to get in touch with happiness?
It can, as long as it's not a smirk, like a sarcastic smirk.
Right.
See, there are even different
well, you got
a
smile out of me. I once had somebody say to me, "Why are you smirking?" And I never knew that I'd ever done such a thing. So, anyhow, that's good reminder. Well, Deanna, thank you for calling in tonight. Feel free to listen to the last 5 minutes, and I will give you
a
call. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye. Sorry to cut you off. So, anyhow, I had an idea, and it went out the window. Is there anything else that you'd like to say on the subject of happiness or about your book before we close?
Well, back to intention. My intention was to get people aligned with their own happiness, and there's no magic bullet for happiness. You need to find personally what works for you, and don't let somebody tell you that what you think will make you happy won't. So you take control, you know, do the exercises in the book, and you don't have to read this book straight through. You can open it to any page. What do I need to know right now? And you can open it up and get the answer to what you need to work on in this moment. And, you know, trust yourself enough that you don't allow somebody to divert you away from what would really be making you happy.
I think that's really important. Once again, it comes down to responsibility. Just on the topic of happiness, we are the ones that are responsible for our own happiness. As you say, nobody else can define that for us. Nobody else can achieve that for us. We are responsible for it, and we have to do the work, as you were talking about earlier, the work on becoming self-aware.
So I hope folks enjoy it, and I hope the very most out of it, and that it really makes them happier in their lives.
Well, I wish you the best success with it. And we've been talking today with Diane Wing primarily about her latest book, The Happiness Perspective, Seeing Your Life Differently. And for those of you listening to the show now, you can find the archives at blogtalkradio.com/AuthorDavidClark, or you can look at any of the podcasts that I've done over the last 4 years, and do check out Diane Wing at dianewing.com/radio. And Diane, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Well, with that said, let's come to a close. Now we can take time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings, a human experience, who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, Diane.
Good night.
God bless everybody.